Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello and welcome to the 70th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you who are joining us here live on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you this important information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. I'd like to start today's show with a quote. It's from William James, and it says, "The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another." I like another quote by Bruce Lee, so I'll include it right now. "It's not a daily increase, but a daily decrease. Hack away at the inessentials." I opened this radio show based on an article by Unique Trauma Calls for Unique Treatments, and this is backed by neuroscience. This was in the Center for Healthy Minds, University of Wisconsin-Madison, and it talks about a unique trauma calling for a unique treatment. One of the things that I find so interesting is many of my topics come from the things that I observe around me or the things that I hear people say. And I teach here at the local college, and we were having a whole big college-wide, people were invited from all of the campuses to come and have the opportunity to meet everybody, to see the new logo. I guess there's a brand new logo that was very top secret for quite a while, and I got some swag that has the new logo on it, so I'm up to date and current. But I was riding in a chair up to the Glenwood Caverns, which is beautiful, and we were talking about the elevation and some other types of things, and then all of a sudden, we were talking about climbing Mount Soapers, which is at the base of our little valley here. It's a 12,000-foot mountain, but it's extremely challenging to climb, and it's harder than some of the 14ers in our area. So we got to talking about some of our mountain climbing experiences, and we found that even though we had all climbed Mount Soapers, each of us had a different experience of Mount Soapers and a different experience of the climb. And one person who had climbed it many, many times said that every time she climbed it, it was a different experience. And then we start talking, and she said, "Well, the worst experience I ever had climbing Mount Soapers was after a tetanus shot." And she said, "I had a situation where I had a pet bite me, and I think it was a gerbil. And first thing my husband said is, you need to go in and get a shot." And so she called the doctor, and the doctor said, "Yes, you need to come in and get a shot." And this has brought me to a question I've had about the approach of Western medicine in general and the practice of administering medicine in prescriptions or shots in general, in specific. And she said, I got a tetanus shot the day before, and then that next day I went to climb Cypress. And she said, I felt worse and worse during the climb. I got down. I didn't finish the climb. I couldn't finish the climb. My arm was swelling. I was nauseated. I felt like I was running a fever. And when I got down, I was running a huge fever. And she says, it turned out I had an allergic reaction to something in the shot. And now the doctors have told me that I need to specifically tell anyone else who's administering a tetanus shot to only give me half a dosage. And she said, I just, you know, I'll remember it because it was so traumatic and so painful. But she said, you know, so many times people tell us things and then we forget them. And then we don't ever communicate the information that needs to be communicated. And then we had lunch today up at the campus. And there were things that were gluten-free and separated from other things so that people with peanut allergies could easily and fearlessly in the meal. And so it's a great reminder that each of us is an individual. Each of us has our individual responses and reactions to different things. And I used to wonder when I was growing up how I could have the same amount of, say, an antibiotic prescribed to me, and I was 130 pounds at the time, as someone who was, say, 230 pounds, and a male. And didn't they ever take into account the different metabolic rates of people and the different weights of people? And why wasn't medicine calculated on weights and body types and body mass index and all of those types of things? And the short answer that I got from the doctor when I asked him that question, I said, am I really supposed to take this amount? And he goes, well, the extra won't hurt you. You'll just pee it out. Whoa. So when this article came up about different types of stress and uniqueness of the stress trauma and how there isn't kind of the best approach for treating all kinds of trauma through one simple thing. Whereas in medicine, you can, you can treat all kinds of different bacterial infections with an antibiotic. And sometimes the same generic antibiotic is prescribed. And then if that one doesn't work, let's get you a different one. And then if that one doesn't work, we may have to culture it to see what your actual bacteria is and then give you an antibiotic that's specifically targeted to that. Well, I recognize that our healthcare system is very expensive to begin with. And a lot of tests are needlessly run, but a lot of tests that may be helpful to have run aren't, simply because it's kind of this limited, one antibiotic should work for it, and if it doesn't, we'll then try to figure it out. I love this article because it said in its opening paragraph, our brains respond swiftly to keep us safe from threats in our environment, whether it's avoiding stepping on a snake during a walk, a close encounter with oncoming traffic, or even a frightening movie scene. Once the threat passes, most people's bodies return to a calmer state. But for individuals with PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder, these fight-or-flight responses can be triggered more easily in situations when the threats are milder or even not present at all. Even more, I love this, even more, each person may have a unique response and set of symptoms, making the disorder challenging to treat. So we come to our question, our first question for this show. Are there really different types of stress? Yes, there are. And each of us is unique. Each of us has lived a different life. Although some of the experiences we encounter throughout our lives may be very similar, our experience of them may be very different. Similar to the climbs of the mountains and those types of things. You could have different weather. You could have different, the variables are infinite. and even people having the same experience, like waiting in line to see a scary movie, I know that there are certain movies that I don't see at all. It just is too triggering for me. Horror shows, vampire movies, those types of things, I just don't need as a part of my nervous system history. So I don't go to see those. But sometimes if I know that there's going to be an adventure or a mystery or those types of things, I'm mildly anticipatory of the movie, whereas other people may be wildly excited, and that excitement may have nothing to do with the movie. They're just excited that that particular movie came out. And we're dealing now with, in this time, some of the aftermath of the Columbine shootings, and there's some civil suits being brought against them and things like that, because people are still experiencing post-traumatic stress as a result of being present in the theater, or even their families who weren't present having to deal with the person who is experiencing PTSD. So the causes of PTSD are myriad. There's so many different ways that stress can be created in a person's life. Last session we talked about you inherit certain stress. So with that inheritance, my stress is going to be different than somebody else's stress is going to be different than somebody else's stress, simply because my parents' stress was different. So how is my stress different? Each of us is a case of one. And as people come into my office or they take my online programs, I've tried to design the programs with all of that in mind, that everybody brings a different history, a different experience, that everybody has a different understanding, and everybody's stress level may be entrained in different ways, so that, as the article states, one person can be mildly traumatized and go back to normal status, whereas another person is triggered and they have a unique response and a unique set of symptoms, making this disorder, even though I don't like to call it that, this stress reaction even more difficult to treat. So as we look at some of these things, they've done imaging, they've done different types of assessments. And one of the things that they say is one person's symptoms of the disorder could include a numbing response, whereas another experiences hyper-arousal or hypervigilance when faced with that perceived threat. Symptoms are mostly identified in clusters, but the source of them, the brain's reactions, are just now beginning to be identified and understood. Whether or not that gives us an effective treatment for stress, we don't know yet. We haven't a clue. But we do understand now that you can't treat stress with a one-size-fits-all cure. They're just, and besides, the word cure is probably stressful in and of itself, because people are looking to be cured rather than understanding that the treatment of stress may require healing, not necessarily curing. And we've been discussing the difference between healing and curing in some previous episodes as well. So right now, it is time for a commercial break. I have gone just a couple of seconds longer than usual, but I would like to invite you all to sign up for the Calm Moms free report. And I would like to remind you that the audio that's in there as a bonus is no longer available. It may become available at some future date, but the audio that was available as a bonus is no longer there. So just ignore that part of the commercial. And I hope you join me on the backside when we talk about the best overall strategy for managing stress.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress
Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you for hanging in with us. I'd like to remind you of the quote that I started with. The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. That gives you a clue as to what we might be discussing in the second half of the show. So one of the questions in the show setup is, what if I don't know the exact cause of the stress I have? Understanding the cause of the stress may or may not have huge potential for healing the stress. But researchers are starting to do some really effective brain mapping, and they're studying symptoms and then mapping what part of the brain is associated with that stress symptom. And I found it interesting because they talk about many cases of mood and anxiety disorders are responsive to treatment, but the big challenge is figuring out what that treatment is and what's best. He says, I don't think mindfulness or yoga is on the whole better than existing options, but for certain individuals, they might be. I would disagree with that, and you know why, because mindfulness is one of the best healing tools out there. They talk about existing treatments for PTSD include exposure-based therapy, which means that the person has to relive the trauma over and over and over and over again. And they find that that's not a real effective treatment, but it's one that they use because it's been around for quite some time. Mindfulness isn't challenged. It's just that it's been around a long time, so it's assumed to work. Mindfulness and yoga are so much more effective for PTSD. Or, as the quote says, our ability to choose one thought over another. So what seems to be the best overall strategy for managing my stress? We come back to the four self-healing skills. Adequate hydration, belly breathing, slowing your thoughts down, becoming aware, and being in the present moment. If you're in the present moment and there's not a bomb exploding, you can begin to have healing from stress. If you're in that exposure therapy, you feel like you're being bombed over and over and over again. And as we've discussed so many different times in the radio show, your body and your nervous system simply cannot heal when it is in the sympathetic or the stress nervous system activity. So exposure therapy might be helpful for getting people habituated to being stressed all the time, but I don't think it's a very effective stress management tool. I know I wouldn't like to have cars coming at me 100 miles an hour. Last time when I avoided an accident and two cars were coming at me simultaneously, and one was in his lane, I was in my lane, but the other one was coming at me, the right side of my car, at me, at the right side of my car. So I wouldn't like to relive that over and over again, and I manage that stress pretty well. No longer bothers me. It's not an issue because I did my four self-healing skills with it, and I did some tapping, and I did some clearing, and if it comes up again, I just say, is that happening now? No. Is there anything I can do about it now? No. Did I survive? Yes. Am I thriving now? Yes. And by asking different questions, and by asking questions, I can begin to think different thoughts. Instead of, oh my God, I almost got damaged or hurt in this horror. It would have been a horrible accident. We would have been hitting head on at 30 miles an hour each. And that's an equivalent of 60 mile an hour impact. No. It's like, is that happening now? No. Am I okay? Yes. Am I thriving? Yes. And keep moving on from this present moment to the next present moment, because in this present moment, there is no stress. And I want to keep building on that. So we come to the next question. What can I do to increase my wellness? One of the elements of awareness is to slow your thoughts down with your belly breathing and become aware of what your thoughts actually are. And then to become aware of the ones that are acting at the subconscious level. And they never quite make it to the surface of consciousness because there's so much mind chatter going on at the conscious level. When you finally get quiet enough and you start asking questions to increase your awareness, you can begin to have an immediate state of peace. And you can keep growing that state of peace by saying, what would make me more peaceful right now in this moment? Oh, I know, taking a sip of my water. What would make me more peaceful right now in this moment? Well, belly breathing shifts me out of the activity of the sympathetic into the activity of the parasympathetic nervous system. So I think I'll do 5 or 6 belly breaths, which is equal to about a minute time. Coming down from the training at the college today, I found I was a little whoo because there was a truck that took a curve inside my lane and on a mountain road with mountain on the one side and he's got gully on the other side. There isn't a whole lot of room for mistakes. And so little heightened breathing, little heightened awareness, and then I just continued belly breathing after that incident to just say, he's safe, I'm safe, let's move on. And by the time I reached the bottom of the hill, I was saying, well, that was at least 5 miles in the distant past and 10 minutes. That's not relevant to this present moment right now. So what do I need for this present moment right now? I need to be aware that I'm turning on to a highway where the speed limits are higher and there's more traffic, and just increase my awareness around my driving skills. So I'm hoping that this was helpful to you in the sense that kind of a one-size-fits-all cure for stress. Healing of stress is what we call the journey. It's taking one step at a time. I saw something not too long ago about life is like a hike in the mountains. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You keep opening up to the new scenery that's available to you. And you keep moving. You keep flowing. You enjoy the beauty. And I just thought that was so appropriate for what's happening today. Also, right after that experience with the truck kind of crossing the line and coming into my lane, which fortunately I tend to hug the inside of curves because I know drivers tend to take curves on the inside of my line, not theirs. So I came across this beautiful vista, and I remembered, you know, that Utes used to inhabit our area, and settlers were coming forth. And I can't imagine the first people who encountered our beautiful mountains, our beautiful Rocky Mountains, climbing one summit only to see mountain after mountain after mountain in the distance, and wondering where they end and how long it would take you to get to the ending. These explorers are similar to what we're exploring in our medical science and our world today. We don't know sometimes what's ahead of us. We can see a few mountains. We can see some passes. We can see a meadowland or a valley in front of us. We can see places where the river runs. But really, until we're in the experience of it, we just don't know. And we don't know where it's going to take us, and we don't know how long we're going to be encountering. And that's the joy of it. That's the wonder of it. That's the experience of it. To remind you as we complete, quote, do something that is productive in a great way. Do something that is productive in a great way to alleviate emotional stress. Get your mind doing something that is productive. And this comes just from Ziggy Marley. How does it get any better than this? I just am so fascinated by the things we're learning, the things we're exploring, the things that are coming into our levels of understanding. Part of it has been around some traditions, and it's just now being more scientifically proven. Other parts, we're exploring. We're into new worlds and new understandings, and let's just remember that each of us is unique. Each of us is a case of one. Each of us will have our own experience, no matter what other people tell us we should have or we shouldn't have. Each of us creates our own reality. So as we move into next week's show, I invite you to email at me at info@makingshifthappen.com and give me some ideas or some questions that you would like to have. I'm working on getting a guest lined up for the next show. And if that does work, I hope too that you will join us and see who the guest is. I won't give away any names right now because it's just not certain. But you can be assured it is leading-edge information, and I think you'll find it helpful in the treatment of stress management. What is my favorite success quote? I'm just going to come back to my typical one from Yoda. There is no try. There is only do or do not. What's a tool that I can use every day that I would have to live without, that I would hate to live without? That's a challenge today because I've used all of them. But I would say because of the car experience, it would be belly breathing. I'd just hate to be without my belly breathing. And what am I going to do for fun? Well, I just found out that my son and his wife and grandson are going to be visiting in October. So that's a fun that I'm going to have in the future. So for this weekend, I am just going to play and play and play. Call up a couple girlfriends, maybe make some jewelry, visit my grandsons, and just have a great day. It was a wonderful Mother's Day with my son and grandson. And hopefully I'll get to see my other grandson, and we'll just have a very good time because if nothing else, an 8-year-old can remind me what it is to play your way and have fun along the way. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to hearing your comments, and I hope you join us next week. Have a great week. Bye for now.